This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
If only we had things to talk about today. Of course, we're going to do debate coverage all over the place. Megyn Kelly's here for that. Got some great news out of the Supreme Court today. Josh Hammer is here for that. It is a huge show tonight on I'm Right. Well, that was quite a night, wasn't it? We just had the presidential debate, and let's talk about all the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there was plenty of everything up there. Look, put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face, because it was a really good night. First, a lot of credit needs to be given where credit is due. Donald Trump, Team Trump, they deserve all the credit in the world. That was a debate that was hostile territory. He marched into there and just pasted Joe Biden. He just destroyed him. Donald Trump was so disciplined last night because the moderators, who I actually will give some credit to in a moment, but the moderators, of course, tried to bring up several times things that Trump would make him look bad or try to walk him into a trap, and he never, ever, 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 ever took the bait. He was on immigration, inflation, immigration, inflation, immigration, inflation all night long. They could not move him off of it. He looked composed. He looked relaxed. He very clearly was prepared. And look, this thing, you heard me say beforehand, he could be walking into a disaster. And man, he walked in and nailed it. So credit, all the credit in the world to Team Trump for last night. That's one. Two, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but CNN did pretty well. Well, gosh, I feel like I need a shower even saying that. Jake Tapper, Dana Bash. Yes, they were, of course, biased, and it was tell us about climate change and all kinds of stupid things. There's no question. But they weren't bad either. This debate that was supposedly set up for Joe Biden under all of Joe Biden's rules, and it was all of Joe Biden's rules, I thought Jake Tapper and Dana Bash did pretty well. So that was the good. Another good is the country now is seeing the man who led the country for the last 3.5 years. Remember, last night was just the day that Norm and Norma finally got to see how bad it was. You already knew. It wasn't some new revelation to you. You knew how bad it was. That man has been leading the country. All right, now let's get to the debate clips. And I'm going to try to keep a straight face during all this because I'll tell you right off the bat, I was watching with my wife and I was watching with my sons. We decided to make it a family thing. I had all kinds of friends and people. Hey, you want to come watch? You want to come watch? We just wanted to make it a family thing. So I made my sons watch. Sons came down, watched. My wife came down and watched. And it was amazing to watch this. It was amazing to watch how bad Joe Biden did all the time and how disciplined Trump was, like this border talk.
You're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. That's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we can do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look, we had the safest border in the history of our country. The border, all he had to do was leave it. All he had to do was leave it. He decided to open up our border.
That was so well done. And it wasn't the zinger. The zinger was great. I enjoyed the zinger. My kids laughed out loud at that zinger. That's why I wanted to play it for you again. They laughed out loud. My sons did. But the part after that is where he really, really did well. And Trump did this a lot last night to his credit. All he had to do was leave it alone. I had it good. I had it set up. Remember what that is? It's reminding people how good they had it. Hey, I had everything fine. And then you got in there and blew it all up. It's a constant reminder that things were okay under him, and now they're not okay under Biden. And he did it all night long. He just basically backhanded him there. All you had to do was leave it alone because I had it fixed. And then you blew the whole thing up. That will resonate with people. And we're seeing today it did resonate with people. Now let's Let's focus on Biden. That's enough of the Trump stuff. Well done, Team Trump. Be very proud of yourselves. That was awesome. Joe Biden. We're going to focus on the political angle of this for now. We'll get to what it means for the country and all the kind of sad, evil, awful stuff. But let's just focus on the political side, as it is Joe Biden's running for re-election. Joe Biden simply could not afford what happened last night. He could not. Everyone's already apprehensive. Democrats, Republicans, independents. You see this in every single poll across the country. Is he too old? He seems too old. I don't know. But then remember, Democrats in the media have been running cover for him. Wow, that was a cheap fake video. Oh, they just took 20 seconds out of context. So everyone isn't as informed as you are. Norm and Norma, they had questions. Is he really that bad? Is this just kind of Republican spin? How bad is it? And so Joe Biden, beyond the lies and everything else, which we'll get to, Joe Biden had to look and sound like a functional adult. And I know that's horrible, but that's the base. That's all we want. Just please act like you're functional. But he had to. He absolutely had to. This moment was 12 minutes into the debate.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
Ow. That hurts. He couldn't afford that. He couldn't afford one of his infamous brain shorts. He just couldn't afford it. And look, that was 12 minutes in. Do you remember Joe Biden's first answer? And I venture to say, listen, you're a Politico. I'm a Politico. This is what we love. I love this. I wouldn't miss last night for the world. That's my Super Bowl last night. I'm sitting there watching every single minute of it. You probably were the same way. But Norm and Norma, they didn't watch in 90 minutes of that whole thing. Tune in for 10, 15 minutes. Let's see what these two politicians are saying. Really, the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, as it pertains to Norm and Norma, as it pertains to those undecided voters, those are the most important minutes. That first impression, you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Remember that old TV commercial? Well, this was Joe Biden's first impression.
We got to take a look at what I was left when I became president, what Mr. Trump left me. We had an economy that was in free fall. The pandemic was so badly handled. Many people were dying. All he said was, it's not that serious. Just inject a little bleach into your arm. You'll be all right. The economy collapsed. There were no jobs. Unemployment rate rose to 15%. It was terrible. And so what we had to do is try to put things back together again. And that's exactly what we began to do. We created 15,000 new jobs. We brought out the position where we have 800,000 new manufacturing jobs.
Oh, my gosh. So, look, you know what happened there. I know what happened there. They knew in the week leading up to this, he was going to have to perform without a teleprompter. So they tried to get him to memorize little one-minute, two-minute spiels. So no matter what happened, no matter what question was asked, Joe Biden was going to give that answer because that's the one he had memorized, kind of. After a week of rest and preparation, that was the best he could get out. Bleach in his arm and 15,000 jobs, and he couldn't afford that. He just couldn't afford it. And of course, look, he's Joe Biden. He may be old and pathetic and a sympathetic figure at this point in time, but he's still the dirty liar he's always been. My blood pressure did get up a little bit when I heard him drop this one about the troops.
When he was president, we were still finding ourselves in a position where you had a notion that we were this safe country. The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
13 of our warriors died in Afghanistan because of that man. It's not even one of those things that, hey, they were in combat and people die in combat. He is responsible for 13 deaths. And he got up there and told the entire world that nobody had died under his watch. What a piece of crap that guy is. What a piece of crap. All right, now that was the good. The good was Team Trump. The bad was Joe Biden. Now let's talk about the evil, the ugly. First, there are a couple people I want to call out specifically here. First, Jill Biden is a daggone witch. I'll tell you something. My wife said something to me. You've heard me echo this before on the show, but my wife, who's not even heavily politico, said something to me last night, and it was just from the heart. You know, she's not a hardcore politico like you or me. She said, I would never let you go through that in front of people, in front of the world. How could his wife let him do that? And this was her after the debate.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Lie! Yes.
Her husband just embarrassed himself in front of the entire planet because he's old. He has dementia. He's too weak. He's not on the back nine. He's on the 18th. He can see the clubhouse. And that heartless witch rode him right back out on stage to have herself another grand rally as the first lady. My wife told me, she said, I would drag you to the beach and we'd live the rest of our lives there and no one would ever see you again. I can't believe what that woman did. And so I'll just echo what she said. I cannot believe that a wife, even if she doesn't love him, how in the world could you allow your husband to do that over and over again and push him to run again? What an evil witch. And finally, all the media last night and today crying those crocodile tears about what happened.
And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. Some of those conversations include, should we go to the White House and ask the president to step aside? Other of the conversations are about, should prominent Democrats go public with that call? Because they feel this debate was so terrible.
I think there's a lot of people who are going to want to see him consider taking a different course now. We're still far from our convention, and there is time for this party to figure out a different way forward if he will allow us to do that.
I think the conversations range from whether he should be in this race tomorrow morning to what was wrong with him. I mean, he has a cold.
This is the last chance for Democrats to decide whether this man we've known and loved for a very long time is up to the task of running for president of the United States.
Listen, nobody is a bigger fan of Kamala Harris than I am. And Gavin Newsom did a remarkable job tonight as a surrogate. And what he said, it's not that I disagree with anything they're saying, but those two people are signaling to a whole lot of Americans that are paying attention, how come they're not running? How come the Democratic Party doesn't have them at the top of the ticket?
Two things. All those people crying about how bad Joe Biden is are the same people who've been covering for him. They knew. They've been covering for him for 3.5 years, and now that it was on national TV and they couldn't cover for him anymore, now they're very sad and Joe Biden needs to go. You evil monsters covered for him. That's one. And two, and this is the most important part, every one of those people is sad, not because a 12-year-old girl was just dragged under a bridge and raped before she was strangled to death by illegal immigrants that Joe Biden let into the country on purpose. They're sad because he might lose his election. Monsters in the media in this country. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Well, that's enough of me running my mouth. Let's talk to somebody with actual intelligence and experience at all this stuff. The amazing, that you can't even compare to Megyn Kelly. Do you watch her show? You listen to her show, it's on SiriusXM, she's on YouTube, she's a journalist. Gosh, what hasn't she done? Megan, how much stuff have you done over the course of your career? You have moderated these debates, you have this amazing radio show, your YouTube channel's must watch. What am I missing?
I had a strong career as a telemarketer before I went to law school.
No, you didn't.
I was not bad at that, I have to say. I was selling 1-800 numbers for businesses, and I knew just exactly how to get them sold.
That is the least surprising thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Okay, well, sorry, that was a little informal. Joining me now, journalist, host of the Megyn Kelly Show on SiriusXM Triumph Channel 111 every weekday at noon Eastern time, Megyn Kelly. Megyn, okay, the debate was obviously a disaster. Everyone's talked about it already. That's not news to anybody. I'm a little amazed Democrats could be dumb enough to walk themselves into something this bad, though. What was he doing for a week at Camp David? Taking jello shots?
I know. Well, now the narrative is, you know, as the finger pointing starts, they overprepared him. Why didn't they just let him rest? He needed rest. Yeah. They gave him too many stats and facts and figures when all he really needed to think about was vigor. Like, that would have saved him. I mean, it was very obvious that the one thing he needed to avoid last night was a senior moment, and he had many of them. You can't blame that on anyone other than Joe Biden. But having said that, we've now seen that we've actually been lied to repeatedly by a team of people who, without question, knew better. It wasn't just spin. It wasn't just politeness and covering for a few weaknesses by this guy. There is zero chance that in all the hours that debate prep team and his advisors have spent with them, they didn't see what we saw in just 90 minutes, where he couldn't even, look at this video. He couldn't even keep his eyes focused. He looked like, honestly, I'm gonna be honest, like he'd had several mini strokes recently, potentially, where the way he walked, the way he presented himself, the way he was looking. And they have an obligation for the sake and safety of the nation to be honest with us about the wellness of the commander in chief. So I actually don't think this is just some yet another ridiculous media story. I think really heads need to roll here and the people who were complicit in trying to cover this up.
Megyn, on top of your journalist and lucrative telemarketing career, you are also obviously a wife. We've had I love your husband, Doug. He's an awesome dude. And one of the things my wife said, you've met her, she's not heavily political. She's obviously on the right, but not heavily political. But watched last night, and she said to me at one point in time, I didn't say it, she said, I would never let you do that. If I would pull you off the stage and we would live the rest of our years, however that many there may be, on a beach somewhere or something, how could his wife let him do that? And Megyn, I can't get that out of my mind. Even if she hates his freaking guts, how could a wife allow her husband and encourage her husband to do this in front of the world? If I screw up and stub my toe, no one sees. The whole world watches Joe Biden embarrass himself. This is his legacy now.
She's another Hillary Clinton. She just comes across as a little nicer, but she's not. She's a power-hungry spouse who doesn't want to give up the trappings of political power and the wealth and connections that are attached to it. Melania Trump wouldn't have done this. Laura Bush wouldn't have done this. Barbara Bush wouldn't have done this. Some of these presidential candidates are driven by their Gisele Fettermans, right? Remember her? I don't know if they're still together. Uh-huh. Fetterman's wife, who want the office even more potentially than the man who aspires to it and gets it. And we now know that about Jill Biden, because there would be no other reason for her to be allowing this. She's still got her mental faculties. She knows what we know, and she knows even more. Look, I'm sure there are, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but I'm sure he's having all of the senior issues that our elderly parents sometimes face and more. And she knows a lot more than we do. And she still pushes him out there and comes out the next day and tries to tell us that he's on it and that he's going to be the next president no matter what. You saw that video of her last night speaking to him like you speak to a one-year-old. You did it. You answered all the questions like he's a baby. And he has the nuclear codes. Shame on her. I'm disgusted by her behavior, Jesse.
I am too. I'm mortified. And speaking of disgusted, this is something you talk about a lot. You've certainly experienced it. I'm disgusted by the media as much as I'm disgusted by Biden or Democrats or his staff, as you pointed out, as you rightly pointed out. But all these crocodile tears from the media today. Oh, he's got to go. I'm sad. He's got to go. We can't run with him. These are all the same people who covered for him for the last, what, 5 years? They were covering for him, and he was running. He was a friggin' disaster. And today, well, with a humble heart, we decided we've got to move on. They're the reason he's there. They covered for this piece of trash the whole time. And now they're acting as if, well, we're just doing our duty. Where was your duty before?
And no one is worse than Joe Scarborough. He is in terms of apologists for Joe Biden. Just a couple of weeks ago, he was out there telling people who didn't believe his assertions that he was completely in command and control, that they could F off because he knew he'd been with him. And then literally this morning, he's calling for Biden to sub out, to step off of the ticket and let somebody else sub in, as if it's a big reveal to him in watching the debate performance. How dare he do this? I am angry because I'm an American and I'm concerned about our safety in the world. I'm concerned about how the Chinese are looking at us right now, how the Russians are looking at us right now. He's a sitting commander in chief for a minimum of 7 months more. But if I were a Democrat wanting to win the 2024 presidential election, I would be furious with these people who ran cover for him, because it's very late in the game to be trying to do the switcheroo. But there was a long runway where they could have done it. You know, you saw James Carville tweet where he out, I tried. As you just said, I tried. He knew, he saw it, he was being honest. And everybody else said, no, 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 because Biden had beaten Trump before and they believed he was the only one who could do it again. And now, you know, as somebody who's not gonna vote for Joe Biden, I have to say that the piece of me that's not thinking about America, just thinking about winning this election, I do ultimately believe it's good for all of us, is kind of happy because he's not going to win. He can't win. And even if they do a substitution, it's going to be very hard for them to win this election. I mean, unless it's Michelle Obama, and frankly, even if it's Michelle Obama, it's an incredibly steep uphill climb to get the American electorate so attached to somebody that they would vote out a presidential candidate who's leading in all six of the swing states right now, Donald Trump, right, to switch their vote. So I really think this is a pickle of their own making.
Yeah, it really is. All right, wrapping this up, speaking of the other guy, what did you think of Trump's performance? Obviously, anyone can nitpick this or that, and I'm certainly happy to do that, but I thought overall he was disciplined and stayed on message and didn't let the moderators veer him into territory that would be dangerous for him, but that's what I saw with my eyes. What'd you see?
He was great. This is the Trump that his advisors have been begging him to be, and many doubted whether he could do it, but he didn't fall for the traps. He didn't allow himself to get baited. He kept switching the difficult topics to something that was more helpful. The American populace does not like what happened on January 6th. And you knew it was going to come up. And that answer about, let me tell you what the country looked like on January 6th, was obviously a dodge, but it was a good dodge. The less time talking about what the protesters did, the better. And he finally saw that. He wasn't nasty against Joe Biden when he kept getting needled. He defended himself and stayed above board. He's the one who ultimately said, let's not act like children. He's the one who said that against Joe Biden, who kept name calling him and getting ad hominem. And if anybody looked like the grown up in the room, it was Donald Trump. I think this is the Trump supporters, not maybe Cora MAGA who likes to see the fighter, but this is like the Republican dream of what Trump could be. He nailed it. I give him an A+.
Yeah, he did nail it. Megan, you always nail it. You were the best. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for coming. All right. We have so much still to get to. So much analysis. So many guests and good Supreme Court decisions today. We'll be back.
The idea that states are able to do this, the idea that the politicians, the idea they're emptying their prisons, the idea that we have, the idea that those people are patriots, the idea that I did anything wrong, the idea that you have a right, and the idea that somehow that's the only reason I ran, and the idea that he's talking about all this being fabricated, the idea that we're not doing anything, I put more, the idea. The thing that he said is true. The idea that we don't need to protect our seniors is ridiculous.
Well, I've got an idea. Let's talk to Jennifer about this disaster from last night. Joining me now, Jennifer Gagliardi, culture, health, and policy writer, former Democrat, I might note. Okay, Jennifer, please explain to me how you can rest for a week, get drugged up on God only knows whatever they gave him, endless amounts of prep, and still be that bad. Is he just a cadaver now? Is that it?
I mean, the idea that any of us were subject to that really, really atrocious. I mean, yeah, it's bad. And you know what? I somewhat blamed you. I was disheartened and I was sad when I went to bed last night, a little bit when I woke up this morning. I was going to skip watching this because I had a funny feeling it was going to be as bad as it was. And I said, you know what? I can't handle it. I'm too depressed already about the state of the world. And then Matt called me up. He said, do you want to go on the show? And I said, oh, fine, I'll do it for you, but you owe me a beer because my whole weekend is ruined now. But, you know, I can't say anything more than everybody's already said, right? You know, we see it in front of our own eyes. I'm sad and disheartened. Obviously, anybody who's human and has a heart has to feel for the guy. Whoever is responsible for taking care of him, who's his loved ones that are standing by his side through this, should be Jill Biden should be ashamed of herself. I mean, honestly, I have a family member about Joe Biden's age going through a similar situation with early Alzheimer's or dementia, and it's the saddest thing to watch. It's really, really hard. So obviously that made me sad and then a little bit angry to see that people are still perpetuating this lie, but also made me sad for the country and really disheartened. Like this morning I thought about how lost we are. This debate seemed to be a reflection of where we are as a society. And by that I mean, I feel like we're going through a second COVID. Right? How easily the media will lie and how easily our country believes these lies. And then when they're caught in the lie, right? Oh, Joe Biden's fine. He's so sharp behind the scenes. And we see Maloney having to take him, you know, pull him back. And we see all the gaffes and the falls and the everything we're seeing and don't believe your lying eyes. And when they're caught, they take no accountability. Oops, how did we know? We didn't know. Well, some of us knew. A lot of us have known. And then we forget about it all. And then we move on to the next horse and pony show. I feel like that debate, you know, Trump had a pretty low bar to hurdle over and he did fine. You know, he hit on immigration and he hit on inflation and the economy, which are all very important and these matter to people. But I feel like everybody's missing the big picture. And there was no mention of the ideological capture of our institutions and the bureaucracy, which has fueled every terrible policy of this administration. It has fueled immigration. It has fueled the transgender ideas. And I feel like it's all leading us down a very dehumanizing and a very unhealthy path. You know, Biden mentioned there's more billionaires and millionaires in the country than ever, and they need to pay their fair share. Well, there was no mention of COVID and the greatest transfer of wealth this country has ever seen in the past 4 years. No mention of that. No mention of our country being 75% obese, or well, maybe not obese, 75% overweight, almost half obese. No mention of the brainwashing of our kids, the grooming of our children. And I feel like we're just too sick and dumb and numb to recognize or delusional to acknowledge any of this. And I feel that we've been duped and we're constantly being duped and no one's seeing it. I feel like, we're missing the point. Again, this all felt, you know, Trump did fine. And I think he hit on some of the things, but I feel like last night was really a reflection of our own confusion and our own state of delusion.
No, I tend to agree with you on that. Now, I mean, electorally, that was probably a smart way to handle it. But the truth is we have this brain tumor and we just keep popping ibuprofen for it instead of actually digging into the real problem. And we can never win. It doesn't matter how many debates we win or how many times Joe Biden poops his pants on stage. We just can never win until we get to the tumor, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't even know that it matters who wins at this point, unless we have kind of a change. You know, we're going to, like you said, we're popping ibuprofen. So a stronger border will help crime. You know, hopefully Trump will get at some of the rot, but I just think it's so embedded and we're so far down this path that we need to take a good, hard look. How did we get to the point where Joe Biden is up on that stage debating Donald Trump? You know, I am obviously going to vote for Donald Trump, but he wouldn't have been my first choice. You know, I'm a little more conservative and I'm happy to compromise in certain things, but we no longer have anybody sticking up for life in this country. You know, when he mentioned the abortion pill, I was like, wow, you know? So I don't know unless we, you know, you talk about this a lot, unless we get more involved locally, the local school boards. Like I said, if I had a home right now, I'd be happy to run for something. I'm still kind of figuring out where I'm going to live, if I can manage living this close to DC. But, you know, we're so distracted. Again, I felt like this debate was a distraction. And it's everything we've already heard. You know, this is, there were no new arguments being made here.
Yeah, there really weren't. And there really weren't. We don't ever get to the heart of the matter. And I feel like the GOP in particular, maybe it's my fault for wanting them to, because they're not capable of it. Nobody really talks about the heart of the matter. It's all this talking point or that talking point. But as you pointed out very, very accurately, we have a sickness right now, and no one's treating it at all. Jennifer, you come back soon. We've got a bunch of crap we have to get to now, but you and I will talk soon, and I will buy you that beer when I get back there, all right? You know, she brings up some really good points about, you know, there was a ton that I could nitpick right now. Electorally, as far as winning the election in November, it was great. It was a great night. As far as Democrats go, it was a disastrous night. Joe Biden looks so bad, all that stuff. But what is our goal? What is your goal? What's my goal in the end? Well, we have to take the country back. We have to get back our culture. We have to get back to being a decent society of free people who fight for freedom and value freedom. And we are a million miles away from that. But hey, one battle at a time. One battle at a time. All right? All right. Comedian Dave Smith is going to join us next.
I think we did well.
Do you have any concerns?
You should have your job, your voice, your performance tonight. Do you have any concerns about your performance?
No, it's hard to debate a liar.
Well, that has to be. That has to be amazing. Joe Biden was probably not the least coherent person in Waffle House at that time of night. I love me some Waffle House. Joining me now, host of Part of the Problem podcast, my friend, libertarian Dave Smith. Okay, Dave, I don't know that anybody speaks for all libertarians. I certainly don't want to act like you do. Libertarians are an individualistic bunch. But what's the libertarian take on that freaking grease fire from last night?
I don't know. I don't know if libertarian theory is going to offer any insight that just common sense won't. But, well, look, I mean, this is, I think objectively, there's really no question it was the worst performance in the history of televised presidential debates. I don't think there's a close second. It's impossible. I will say, because, you know, people like me and you are interested in politics and in substance, I was not particularly impressed with Donald Trump. I didn't think it was his best night. I thought there were kind of points that could have been made. It didn't have the feel of the 2016 campaign, where it was truly a condemnation of both parties and the swamp and America First. I didn't like his answer on Ukraine or Israel, to be honest. But none of that matters, because when one candidate simply demonstrates an inability to walk and speak, the nuance of the political positions doesn't even come into play. Joe Biden, from his first 30 seconds, was a disaster. I mean, forget even how you feel about it. The guy pivoted from abortion to a girl being murdered by an illegal immigrant. It was his choice. It was just, I mean, you couldn't, it was, again, there's been some bad performances, particularly in primaries. Bloomberg had a very bad debate performance back in 2019. or 2020. Jeb Bush, of course, had very bad. None of them were anywhere near the disaster of what Joe Biden had last night. Joe Biden would have killed for some of that Jeb Bush energy.
No doubt he could have. So, Dave, how do they navigate this now? All the dirty, miserable people in the media, the Democrat Party. Of course, they're all crying today. He's got to go. He's got to go. But he really can't go unless he decides to go and hands his delegates to somebody at the convention. There's no Michelle Obama swooping in to save the day or whatever these people dream of. So what's the plan?
That's the question right now. I mean, well, okay, so what we know is that we just last night lived through one of those moments, which happens so often. It's really something out of 1984. It's the most Orwellian thing where the media will have a narrative they're all in on, and then at the drop of a dime, they switch. You know, like with the lab leak theory when Jon Stewart made fun of it, and then all of a sudden it was okay. You could talk about this. Well, that happened last night. You're allowed to talk about Joe Biden's age now. Literally, yesterday morning, this was off limits. They were all just a few weeks ago mocking that Wall Street Journal article. Joe Scarborough was talking about how Joe Biden's at his peak and that behind closed doors, he's a savage and he's totally on top of it. So that's over. They have now admitted that the emperor has no clothes. They can join the rest of us who have been talking about the obvious severe cognitive decline of Joe Biden over the last decade. So that's the first step. Then there's a lot of questions that come up. Can they get Joe Biden to agree to step down? Can they get Kamala Harris to agree to step down? If she doesn't want to, she's got a very easy card in front of her. Oh, you're slighting the woman of color. Very easy for her to play that card. Then the question becomes, if you can't get Kamala Harris and Joe Biden to agree, are you better off with Kamala Harris at this point? It's been pretty unanimous amongst the corporate media class and the political class that they prefer Biden to Harris for obvious reasons. She's that bad. I'm not so sure that that calculation doesn't change after last night. As awful as Kamala Harris is, she has less charisma than Hillary Clinton, and she's got her annoying cackle. And unlike Hillary Clinton, she speaks like she's taken the strongest edible you've ever heard of and like doesn't know what's happening in the world. But at this point, is she a better bet for them than, I mean, she's not senile. She does have that going for her. And so, I'm, you know, your guess is as good as mine, but there's no question that the signal has gone out that they want to get somebody else in there now. That's official. It's no longer just, you know, speculation. They want Biden out.
Gosh, how much of an indictment is that of Kamala Harris that the debate, there's a genuine debate. Do we stick with the dementia patient or go with her? Dave,
well,
by
Jesse,
the way,
to wrap
this up,
ask yourself. I mean, look, if you could remove every sense of morality that you have or any feeling for the nation, like if you could just say you're just a political animal and you're only the only thing you care about is that the Democrats win the White House this November. Who would and you had to go with one of the two of them. I think it's a pretty tough choice right now. It's not self-evident that there's a clear choice to me.
Man, it's scary that you're right. It's scary that you're right. And it's scary that they're having this argument. God, Dave, you're the best, buddy. Come back soon. I appreciate you. Oh, jeez. He's right. All right. We do have other things. You know, this big Supreme Court thing today? A couple of them, few of them. Big, good things happened today. It was just a great day. We'll talk about it next. All right, let's cover the Supreme Court stuff because these are much bigger stories, frankly, than the debate from last night. And Josh Hammer is our resident expert on all this stuff. So he decided to drop us a little video and explain all this for us. Here he is.
Hey guys, it's Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial with Josh Hammer, a First TV podcast. What a day today at the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's start with the Fisher case, the January 6th case. So this is a case involving the application of the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act. This statute was always a very poor fit for the J6ers. This statute was passed in the aftermath of the Enron accounting scandal. Another, under my view of statutory interpretation, there is a doctrine called ratio legis, reason of the law. Sir William Blackstone, the great 18th century English common lawyer, described this as the overarching purpose of the statute. And when it comes to statutory interpretation, what it means is that you can't go too far afield from what the statute was effectively intended to do. Well, that's what prosecutors tried to do here. They tried to take this language for this accounting era statute that on its own terms has to do with obstructing the evidentiary rulings and documentary investigations for things like accounting scandals, and then somehow applying it to the J6ers. So it ends up being a somewhat arcane, in the weeds statutory interpretation debate. We're dealing here with the interpretation of 18 U.S. Code section 1512 subsection C2, pertaining to the specific clause, quote, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding. Again, they were trying to take this broad provision and cram it into a shoebox there. The court holds that it is illegitimate. So the practical effect here is that a lot of J6ers are either going to have the prosecutions dropped, or at a bare minimum, their sentences will have to be reevaluated or reduced on the back end. Huge ramifications as well for President Donald Trump in this case. Two of his four charges in special counsel's Jack Smith's indictment in Washington, D.C., two of the four charges are on this statute, this Sarbanes-Oxley statute. Massive win for Donald Trump. Two of Jack Smith's four charges, at least, now look like they are having to go away there. It is a massive loss for the dirtbag scoundrel special counsel today, Jack Smith. Awful loss. Two other cases that I want to briefly note. Chevron deference has been overruled. Chevron deference was a longstanding doctrine. The court fabricated this in a mid-1980s case called Chevron. Back then, they said that Article 3, the courts cannot weigh in when an agency has reasonably interpreted an ambiguous statute that guides how that agency operates. It was a ruling in light of judicial restraint, but it had the perverse effect of emboldening and engorging the administrative state. Conservatives and libertarian lawyers have been trying to overturn Chevron for years and years now. It's a long overdue good result. It fundamentally upholds the Marbury versus Madison idea that given to us by Chief Justice John Marshall in 1803, that it is emphatically the province of the judiciary to say what the law is. That is what this case stands for. Chevron doctrine is done with. It is a good result for taming in the administrative state. Finally, real quick, a case out of Oregon called Grants Pass. The court rejects 6-3, a ridiculous Eighth Amendment cruel and unusual punishments clause claim that generally applicable homeless laws are necessarily unconstitutional. Very straightforward decision. The craziest thing there is that the three liberals nonetheless dissented. Shows you how kooky much of liberal jurisprudence has become. But overall, a good day at the court and a great, great day for Donald Trump and the J6ers.
That's a good day, wouldn't you agree? All right. And give you some final thoughts. Thanks. All right. It's time for my final thoughts slash lighten the mood thing on the debate from last night. And I think it would only be appropriate not for me to do this final segment. I think Dome should do the final segment.
Listen, first of all, what we saw tonight is the president making a very clear contrast with Donald Trump on all of the issues that matter to the American people. Yes, there was a slow start, but it was a strong finish. It was a strong finish.
Strong finish.
Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
What a night. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.